Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've wondered if you've maybe heard some of the grumbling these days, something that might have gone a little like this. It's the young people who've ruined everything with their strange music and their avocado toast. If only they were more like us. Now get off my lawn. Or maybe the grumbling went a little like this. Just look around at the world we're inheriting and think of the one we'll create. Their mistake is they got old. That is not a mistake we'll be making, no sir. We'll stay young forever. Well, that sort of grumbling, that sort of sin, was all the rage in Ezekiel's day. You see, it was about 500 years, more than 500 years before Jesus would be born, and God's people had been taken away into captivity. The Babylonians conquered Jerusalem because God's chosen people had rejected the Lord as their Lord. And it had now been a full generation that God's people had grown up living in captivity away from the homeland that God had given them, not really feeling like they belonged in this strange place where their Lord had let them go, and they blamed their parents. In fact, the people even had a proverb, a little saying, to voice their frustration with this intergenerational tension. They said, "The children, or the fathers, have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." Sounds kind of strange, but what it meant was simply that our fathers did the bad stuff, and we're the ones stuck paying for it. It was their way of saying that society, the nation, the world, and even all creation itself was going downhill, and it was all because of them. And old folks and young folks alike would say this. It was a way to place the blame on them, that other group of people, those people who were different from us. Ezekiel may have lived 500 years before Jesus was born, but his world wasn't all that different from our own. Then, as now, human beings suffered from an affliction that is an age-old sort of condition, sin. The problem wasn't that one generation ate sour grapes. The problem was that Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit in the garden, that fruit which seemed a delight to the eyes but really meant death to the soul. Sin and death is what comes from human beings generation after generation. All of us have tasted that sour fruit. Every one of us has our teeth set on edge. There is no other, no them, no different from us people to blame. The age-old condition affects us all. We reject our Lord daily. So what are we to do? Well, Ezekiel gives us one answer. God sent Ezekiel to prophesy. Enough already. Keep the law. There will be no more grumbling about what others have done. No more silly proverbs about sour grapes and crooked teeth. No more complaints about the world you've inherited or even avocado toast. No more passing the blame because we're all sinful. We have not kept the law. Instead, God says, "All souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. And, says the Lord God, the soul who sins shall die." So old and young both belong to the Lord. He alone decides where they live, when they live, even that they live. He has planned out every moment of their life for them to share his love with the world. Life itself is a gift from God, yet the soul who sins shall die. So it seems that age-old condition still afflicts us. We reject our Lord daily. We don't keep the law. So what are we to do? Ezekiel gives us another answer, a clearer answer, and it comes in one word: repent. At the end of this chapter, Ezekiel says, "Repent and turn away from your transgression, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away all the transgressions that you have committed and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live." Repent. That's a word that has some connotations in our modern English that are unpleasant, uncomfortable, submissive sounding, maybe even a little bit painful. And repentance can certainly be those things at times, but all it is, all it simply is turning to God to live. Turn and live. 2,000 years ago, 500 years or more after Ezekiel's people were led into captivity, John the Baptist came preaching that same word. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And just following him, another came who he had been preparing the way for, and that one who was far greater said the same thing. He said, "Repent, for I am bringing my kingdom to sinners." Repent. Do not point the blame to others. Repent. Do not despair of your sin. Repent. Place your sins on me, Jesus said, because I will take them to the cross. Repent. Turn to me, the Lord God says. Turn and live. This is something that we need to be reminded about daily, because we forget that repentance is offered to us. When we are baptized, we become part of the church. Church is a word that comes from the ancient Greek, ekklesia. It means called out. When you are baptized, you become one of the called out ones. You are called out from exile in the world and brought into God's church. Your focus, you called out ones, is not the division between generations or divisions between people. It's on the reconciliation that the Lord God has made with all people and the love that he shares with all of us. We just sang, "Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Let the Lord be your Lord. Remember all that he has done for you at baptism. In baptism, the Lord God cast away all your transgressions. In baptism, the Lord God gave you that new heart and new spirit. In baptism, the Lord God turned you and gave you new life. That age-old condition need no longer afflict you. The Lord God has saved you." And so, in joyful response to God for saving us from that age-old condition, we can follow his age-old guidance. In today's reading from Ezekiel, there were about 20 verses that got skipped between verse 4 and verse 24. And I understand why the great minds that put together our lectionary did that. It makes sense. Those words are very repetitive. You can go read them at home, by the way. It's always good to read Scripture. Spend time in God's Word. But if you were to read those words, you'd notice they're repetitive and they sound familiar, because really what they're doing is restating the Ten Commandments, the law of God, which is good and wise and written on our hearts and teaches us how to love our neighbors here and now. This means that life is not for looking backwards or looking forwards and pointing fingers. Life is for the present, and to be more exact, life is for sharing that good news with others in the present. That's what God has placed you in the world to do. It doesn't matter where you are living, or when you're living even. The coronavirus makes this mission to others a little more difficult, maybe even a lot more difficult. How we mission to others looks different, but we are still called to do it. And with that new heart and renewed spirit, you can do it by God's grace. So go and live a life of mission and of praise and of constant repentance. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. So turn and live. Amen. So we declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. Amen.